Division previews. We'll start with the Metro, DB's favorite division, his New York Islanders, his beloved New York Islanders. How are you, DB?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not really ready to talk about the Islanders. I am ready to talk about the Metro. I am excited to see how the Metro folds out, but not the Islanders, honestly.
Yeah, I think excitement's dwindled down over the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, at first, it looked like this was the summer of changes, and then, well, maybe not as much. So, as we talk about the last few pods, we're going to do these division previews starting today with the Metro Division. The goal is one episode for each division. Depending on how we do for time today, it may become two episodes for each division released on starting after today, which is Thursday when this is coming out. They'll be on every Wednesday and every Sunday if we do the two-episode method, depending on how, you know, we do on time today. But we're going to start with our standings predictions for the Metro. So, DB, we'll start with the top and just give me from top to bottom who you think, you know, what you think the Metro is going to look like this year.
I think eight, it's going to be Philly. Honestly, okay. Just not excited to watch him that much. Seven is going to be Washington. Just, eh. Six, I got the Islanders. Just shit team. Five, I mean, obviously everything four and everything could be a shakeup. But five, I have Pittsburgh. Four, I have New Jersey. Three, I have Columbus. Two, I have Carolina. And one, I have the Rangers.
I like it. I like it. We're going to talk. We'll talk more about it after I tell you my teams here, but we'll compare and contrast. But just, you know, to get this out there, these are just our predictions. You know, it's not really based. There's no model it's based on. There's no data that it's really based on. It's just based on, you know, and it's accounting for, okay, let's say a certain team has guys who typically are injured or are up there in age. How's that going to impact their play? So I just wanted to preface that before I got into mine. So here we go. Philly at eight, the Islanders at seven, New Jersey at six, Pittsburgh at five, Washington at four. All of those teams I have missing the playoffs. In the top three, at three I have Columbus, at two I have Carolina, at one I have the New York Rangers. My five playoff teams are coming, or my two wildcard teams will be in the Atlantic, which we'll talk about next week. So my three teams making the playoffs in this division, Rangers, Carolina, Columbus. DB, anything you're going to shit on me for on that, or we good?
No, I completely agree.
I like it.
I have a humble opinion. I think it's, you know, a sleeper division, but, you know, you kind of humbled division down to me.
How many teams you got making the playoffs in this one, though? You got four?
I have a possible four. It's just a scenario, I guess. Yeah. You told me to make a four and five prediction. So I put my four and my five, and I thought they have a chance to, if they have a chance to make it, they'd make it. And I said that New Jersey, if they're in contention, if they play well, they'll make it.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I like that. You didn't answer my question though. No, I'm fucking with you. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Washington, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, kind of a toss for me. Columbus too, throwing that mix. You could kind of roll the dice on that one. You know, does Crosby stay healthy? Does Malkin stay healthy? Letang healthy? How's Tristan Jarry looking this year? You know, Washington, Backstrom, you know, we'll talk about this in a couple minutes, but, you know, you never know. It's really, this division is very much up in air.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm actually shocked at my list. I'm looking at it now and I'm just like,
yep, exactly. I'm doing the same thing with mine. You could make this in 5 minutes from now and it would be a total different list. Mine is probably the top two.
Top three.
Maybe
top
three.
Top three. I think Columbus is a lock in the top three. I just think they did it. I think they made themselves a contender in the division.
We'll talk about them in a couple minutes here, but let's start with Carolina. All right. So, a couple big things this offseason. Carolina, they got the Jasperi Kotkaniemi extension done, 8 years. So he'll be in his first year of that extension. Martin Natchez signed a 2-year extension. And then a couple other guys, including Ethan Bear, signed a 1-year extension. So they brought in Ondrej Kosha via free agency, Ryan Dzingel via free agency, and Paul Stastny via free agency. They traded Tony DeAngelo to Philly. They acquired forward Max Pacioretty from Vegas and defenseman Dylan Coughlin from Vegas, as well as Brent Burns from San Jose. And they added a couple picks. They added a couple, a second, a third, a prospect, and, you know, they traded away Steve Lorenz. That's the other roster player that left via trade. In terms of free agency departures, they lost AHL top player Andrew Podyarovsky, who was a borderline NHL player. Second-line center Vincent Trocheck, defenseman Brendan Smith, forward Max Domi, defenseman Ian Cole, forward Nino Niederreiter, and defensive prospect Joey Keen. So they lost a lot. They got some guys. It's a whole different team, you know, with the exception of their top six looks very similar to how it normally does.
Yep. And, so, you know, do you just want me to go into my take? Because – This one's a big discussion one.
I'll do the lineup first then. And then we'll get to that take.
All right.
Because that take's going to be a discussion. So lineup this year, for me, it's looking like, for us, I guess, it's looking like Svechnikov, Aho, Jarvis, Tavo, Kotkaniemi, Martin Natchez, Stastny, Stahl, and Fast is line three. Martinook, Drury, and Kasha is line four, with Dzingel and Pettersson as extras. Derek Stepan is coming to camp on a PTO. He played for them last season. And Max Pacioretty is out until March, so he's not really part of our lineup here. Defensemen, or defensive pairings, Jakob Slavin and Brett Pesce, Shea and Burns, Jake Gardner and Ethan Bear, and then extra would be Dylan Coughlin or Jalen Chatfield. And then Annette Anderson and Ranta. So, DB, let's hear your take for this team.
Okay, so it's a very broad one, but I'll explain it. Did they do enough? Did they do enough via the refresh that they did? You know, a lot of the old guys that were a part of the, you know, Caniacs and all that, they got shipped away, but they're trying to replace them with similar like players. And I just think, did they do enough? And did they do enough right now to, with this refresh, also hold them in the playoffs until guys like Max Pacioretty come back?
That's a good question. That really is. That's going to be something to watch because, you know, their biggest need was a goal scorer. And they addressed it.
But he can't play till March.
But he's out until March. So they got worse on the back end, arguably. I mean, they lost DeAngelo, but Brent Burns had a 50-point season last year. And
exactly.
Speaking, he's been very good in his career. So is that going to, you know, what's their decor going to look like? Are they going to go with Slavin and Pesce on line one, or is Burns going to take Pesci's spot on, you know, is he going to be one with Jacob Slavin? So it's going to come down to that. But I don't know, to answer that question. I don't know if it's enough. I think it's enough to stay where they were last year. I think they replaced what they lost. I think they're staying in the same spot, but they're going to need Andrei Svechnikov to find a second gear. I'm sorry. Someone had to say it.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. That's why I made these types of takes, because I know you kind of went the stat base, which is perfectly fine. I just wanted, you know, expand it a little bit.
I like that take.
Did they do enough, honestly?
I know, and that's going to be a question we're going to see, you know, we're going to see play out through the year. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. How about, you got any breakout player for this team? Is there a player you're watching that this is a big year for them? They're going to have a big year.
Seth Jarvis.
Oh, I had him written down too. That's my breakout player for Carolina, Seth Jarvis. He playing with Svechnikov and Aho to start the year, if they go with that route, that's nice. That's nice.
Exactly.
He was good for them last year. He wasn't bad. You know, he was good. But this is his big, he needs a big sophomore year. No sophomore slump. He's got to get right into it real fast. And he's a hell of a player. So I'm interested in seeing him, you know, take that next big step. And my hot take, Brent Burns, 60 points.
Okay.
Yep, I'm calling it right now. He is going to have a field day feeding offense that can put pucks in the net if they can put pucks in the net this season. So, and, you know, he's going to shoot. He's not afraid to shoot. And this is a team that gets guys to the net. You know, they lost some of that in losing Lorenz and even Nino, in a sense, and Domi, too, and even Trocheck. But, you know, they still have a lot of guys who are net front presences and skill, but also go hard to the net. So anybody you think prospect-wise who might make the team this year, or what are we looking at there?
Dude, I don't know, honestly. That's a shakeup with me at Carolina because they're deep. They have the veteran.
I mean,
the veterans, like, yeah. They have Stepan and a PTO. Like, he played on the team last year.
Yep. Jack Drury is my lock for line 4C right now. That's the only guy who I'd really would bet on. Ronan Seely, great defenseman. They don't have room on the blue line.
No, they Dominic don't. That's Bach, the thing.
Does Bach make the lineup? We'll see how injuries go. But their goaltenders both have 1 year left on their contract. And their current in Anderson and Ronta. And one of them won't be back next year, I'm going to say right now, after this season. Because it's Kochetkov time. I'm calling that now. He's going to see some action this year because one of those goaltenders is going to miss time with an injury. It just happens. It's what's going to happen. They're goaltenders who have battled injuries before. So anything you want to say about Carolina before we move on?
Honestly, I feel I'm pretty good with Carolina. I don't have much else to say. That was the one team that I was kind of, I don't know, short on info with.
That's all good. I've decided right now we're going to split this up into two episodes. So this episode, we're going to cover Carolina, Columbus, New Jersey, and New York Islanders. Next episode, we're going to cover the Rangers, Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington. This episode comes out, obviously, today on Thursday, September 1st. Next episode comes out on Sunday, September 4th. So, on to Columbus. Let's see here. I said on to Columbus, and it's really me who's supposed to talk next after I said that.
There you go. Kinda...
All right. Columbus, a couple big re-signings. They re-signed Elvis. Oh, my Jesus.
Oh, my, yeah. Elvis, just take a fucking fresh start. No,
Elvis
versus. Take a, no, there you go. There you go.
5.45 by 5 years. That was before the season started. Zach Werenski was a last summer contract. He's going to enter the first year of his $9.58 million for 6 year contract. They got Line A re-signed for 8.7 by four. And then they re-signed Ross Levick, Jenner, Adam Boquist, and Jonas Korpisalo, as well as Nick Blankenberg. He had a lot to do this past summer and past year. You know, a couple of these were done previous summer, but, and he managed to bring in Johnny Gaudreau, 9.75 by 7, and Eric Gudbertson, 4 by 4. Well, only losing Dean Kukan, Kevin Stenland, and Gabriel Carlson from their NHL roster, arguably from their NHL roster. So, made a great draft. And, you know, David Jurasek is close to being an NHL blue liner, in my opinion. I do. I think maybe we see him this season. And that's my prospect who might make the team, is David Jurasek. But as of right now, how it looks for me, they've got top line, Gaudreau, Johnson, Line A, then Nyquist, Roslovic, Voracek, then Jenner, Sillinger, Marchenko, Robinson, Corrali, Chinnikov, with Danforth and Benstrom as extras. James Neal's on a PTO. Huge. The real deal might be back in the NHL. We'll see. On defense, they got Werenski, Boquist, Gavrikov, Gudbrandsson, Bean, Blankenberg, and Andrew Peak. In net, they got Merz Lincolns and Korpisalo. They're looking nice.
They are, and I don't know why you're saying it's iffy. That's the thing.
Defense.
I think they're okay.
But David Jurasek, right shot defenseman.
Yeah. I don't see an issue.
If he's NHL ready, he's someone – dude, he could come to camp and take a spot in that lineup. The right side right now is Boquist, Gudbrandsson, Blankenberg, and Peak. Peak well, then could let get me sent
just,
down.
Let me just – I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, look at these defensemen. Like, I don't think that's the issue. I think if Columbus wants to show that they're the playoff team, the top line needs to be huge.
Oh, I agree.
That's my
take.
Your take.
That's your take. That's my take. Top line's got to be huge. I like it. They do. And is Kent Johnson, in your mind, going to be on that top line?
And yes, he is my breakout player as well.
Yeah, yep, me too. Him, and I gave you a second. I gave you guys a second because I had a feeling you would have one. You would have him. Adam Boqvist.
That's a solid one too. He can really, you know, shake up OFD. Things and make them look good.
Yep, and now he's got guys to feed. Before, who's he fucking giving the puck to? Voracek, now, he's going to move it again?
Exactly, now.
Now, you got Goudreau, you got Kent Johnson, you got a poised Patrick Laine still, or who's, you know, hopefully healthy and he looks poised. You got Marchenko down on line three, likely. You got Sillinger, who can score too. And, you know, you got options. It really.
Yeah.
And Kent Johnson, let's hear what you got to say about him.
I think he's going to take that top line spot and run with it. I think he's ready. He's going to be big things. I think this is going to be their top line. Like I said, their top line needs to be huge for them to show that they're a playoff team, because you think there's three teams in the Metro that are making it. And my personal opinion is Columbus is doing it, but it's also a shakeup. And in my opinion, if Columbus's top line's better, they beat out every single other team.
Behind, not counting Carolina and New York.
Yes.
Okay. So they beat out Washington, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Islanders, and Philly. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I really think, and I think that they have that it really, Johnny Gaudreau has a chance to really show the kind of player he is. And Patrick Laine has a chance to really demonstrate what he hasn't necessarily. I thought he had a really good year last year. I thought he was good at putting the puck in the net. I thought
consistency. Everyone's so pissed with his consistency. Yep. If he can be consistent this year, which
now you're playing with one of the best
top line being huge. Yep, exactly. You need your top line to be at least two of them got to be 70 point scorers.
Oh yeah, I'll get to that one in a second. I also forgot they traded Oliver Bjorkstrand. So that was another guy who's no longer on the team. So they traded Bjorkstrand to Seattle. But as a cap, you know, it was kind of a cap situation there. However, I think my hot take for this team, you ready?
Yep.
Kent Johnson, I'm calling 25 goals right now. You might call me crazy. That might be a little low to be a take, but I'm going at least 25. And obviously Columbus in the playoffs. That's my other take on them.
Okay. I have nothing to say about that. That's a perfectly great take.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited. I think James Neal as a PTO really, really offers something interesting too. Because Danforth and Bemstrom are guys who are, they can be in the AHL. And if Neal shows that he wants it and he can come back and do this thing for real. And, you know, I mean, we'll see. I'm very interested. We're making better time than I thought, so we'll do New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, the New Jersey Devils. Let's take a look here. A lot of moves this offseason, starting with – well, we'll start with trades. They acquired the 37th and the 70th overall pick – or, sorry, they traded the 37th and the 70th overall pick. They traded Pavel Zacha, Ty Smith, and a third-round pick in this next draft. They acquired the 47th overall pick, which they used to draft Seamus Casey. Goaltender Vitek Vanacek, they also acquired in that same trade from Washington. Center Erik Haula and defenseman John Marino. So those are guys they brought in via trade. They re-signed Jack Hughes to his big deal. 8 years, $8 million a year starting this season. Vitek Vanacek got his extension after getting traded there, 3.4 by 3 years. Miles Wood signed a one-year extension, and so did Jesper Bratt. So two guys to really watch this season as they're on the last year of their – well, only year of their contract right now. And Andrej Palat was their big free agent addition, $6 million by 5 years. And Brendan Smith, $1.1 million per year for 2 years. They didn't lose much. They lost A.J. Greer, John Gillies, Chase DeLeo, Colin White, Frederick Gauthier, and Jan Kuokkanen. And they had a really good draft with their second overall pick in Simon Nemec someone who is a possibility to make that roster this year, but we'll see. We'll get to that in a little. And they addressed the needs that I thought they had. Add a top six winger, add a starter. They needed to improve the defense in my mind a little bit, but after, I mean, looking at it now, I think they did. I think Marino's an improvement from Ty Smith, so they did that too. And then, so for their lineup, we'll get into their lineup real quick, and then we'll get into your take, DB. Top lines here, here we go for me. Line one, Palat, Hughes, Bratt. Line two, Sharon Govich, Heischer, Mercer. Line three, Andreas Janssen, Eric Haula, Andrew Holtz, Alexander Holtz, Jesus Christ. Miles Wood, Michael McLeod, Michael McLeod, and Tomas Tatar, line four. Nate Bastian, Fabian Zetterlund as the extras. Graves and Hamilton on pairing one. Siegenthaler, Severson on two. Brendan Smith and John Marino on three. Geertsen as the extra defenseman. Vitek Vanacek and Mackenzie Blackwood in net. Vanacek starter, Blackwood backup, kind of a 1A, 1B situation. I think Vanacek will get more games. DB, your take on the New Jersey Devils?
Miles Wood's in his contract year.
All right, everyone. That's all DB has to say. Miles Wood is in his contract year. So that's all DB's got to say.
He was a force to be reckoned with before the injuries.
I think he could take that two spot from Sharon Govich on the left side.
Yeah.
I might be calling me stupid, but.
No. Why do you think my take is what it is? That's why I'm keeping it short and simple. Miles Wood's back.
All right. And now we're doing way better on time than I thought we were. So we'll have to decide.
I mean,
the 30 minute mark.
To be fair, we could just knock all this out. I wouldn't care.
No, but I say we do. Let's do one pod.
Okay, bet.
We'll do one pod. So
Hold up, my breakout from the. Who cares? They could fucking. They're gonna realize it. Fuck them.
All right, DB's hostile moment. DB, what's your breakout player?
Dawson Mercer.
All right, that's fair. He's gonna have some looks this year. He is gonna have some looks, and depending on what they do on that left side on that line. I mean, that's my only concern is, I mean, they have Holtz coming up. And that's my breakout player, Alexander Holtz. So, first year in the league, I think he's going to have a great year. And my hot take, you ready for this one? My take, I guess. I guess we shouldn't really even call them hot takes. But my take, drum roll, please, DB. You ready?
Yep, let's hear it.
Jack Hughes, 80 points.
Damn. Okay.
Jack Hughes, 80 points.
Because I can see it, but I also can't see it.
If he stays healthy, that's a big part of it. I could see him getting 80 points in 82 games. I could see him doing 80 in 75. I don't think I could see him doing 80 in if he plays only 60. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a tough one. If he stays healthy, 80 points alongside Andrej Palat and Jesper Bratt. Book it right now. Couple possible rookies for this team, Alexander Holtz, Tyce Thompson, Nolan Foote, Kevin Ball, Simon Nemec. We'll see who makes it. Holtz, obviously. Thompson, he's knocking on that door. Foote's knocking on that door. And Simon Nemec, I don't know what the plan is on him. I think they're going to send him overseas again for this year, but who knows? We'll see. I'm very interested in that. And DB, it's time. The New York Islanders. They have a couple re-signings. You know, this was a while ago, but Ryan Pulock's contract starts this season, 6.15 by 8 years. So he's got 8 years starting now. Alexander Romanov, 2.5 by 3 years. Dobson, $4 million by 3 years. A couple cheap signings for Robin Salo and Sebastian Aho. And then Cal Clutterbuck is starting a $1.75 million 2-year extension. And Ross Johnson is in his first year of a $1.1 by 4-year extension. This summer, they stayed pretty quiet. They only signed Hudson Fashing and Dennis Chalowski, guys who probably won't really see the NHL much. They lost AHL top scorer Austin Cesarnik and Mitch Van Sompel. And they made one trade. They traded the 13th overall pick for Alexander Romanov in the 19th or the 98th overall pick. So 13th for Romanov in the 98th from Montreal. So that brings us to the lineup this year. I'm thinking it's looking something like this. And obviously, this is just my spitball quick idea here. Lee, Barzal, Bailey. Parise, Nelson, Palmieri. Beauvillier, JGP, Wahlstrom. Martin, Cizikas, Clutterbuck. Johnston, Bellows as the extras. Defense.
Okay.
P&P, Pelikan, Pulak. Romanov, Dobson as pairing two. Salo and Mayfield as three, with Aho as the extra. In net, goaltenders Ilya Sorokin and Semyon Varlamov, one of the best duos in the National Hockey League. DB, what's your take for your Islanders?
They're a mediocre hockey team.
Okay. Well, I have a take for you then. I'll make you a little happier. My take is Noah Dobson finishes top five in Norris voting and ends up on pairing one by the end of the season.
I sure fucking hope so. I sure hope anything happens that's good for them, because right now they just
I have them seventh in the Metro. Dead. I have them seventh in the Metro with Dobson getting top five in Norris. Who's your breakout player?
It's got to be Anthony Beauvillier.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Beauvillier needs a good year. Playing alongside likely Peugeot and Wahlstrom. Maybe he gets on line two. If Parise slows down.
I think your lineup's a little weird.
I think and you're not even a little weird.
No, okay. This is how it normally goes. Think about it. I'm the Islanders fan.
DB's
Barzal.
Okay.
And then you get Lee, Wahlstrom.
I don't see Wahlstrom on line one with the new coach.
He plays line. He already plays line one.
I don't see him on line one with the new coach, DB.
Okay.
I don't see it. I think Bailey's going to get that line. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're smoking crack for that. That's just wow. Bailey's the third line with Pageau.
Actually, this is just kind of spitball. The right side.
Well, I know.
Of your
I'm just
blows.
Trying to think. I 100% agree.
Clutterbuck.
Can Atu Rautti play the wing?
That's where I was headed. Some possible rookies. Atu Rautti, William Dufour, Willem Dafoe, Sam Bolduc, and Robin Salo. I think Salo's a most likely scenario. Sam Bolduc is second. Atu Rautti, he can play the wing. So you might see him in that top nine this season. Parise might slide down. I mean, they thought he was the best player last year on that team. A lot of people thought he was.
I agree. He actually showed that he wanted to fucking play.
And he can move. He can still move. So I don't know if he's going to be someone who plays in the bottom.
I think, honestly, if the Islanders are in their smartest fucking just mind, if Lou Lamoriello is just, you know, peak IQ, you get rid of JG Pageau or one of the fourth liners and one of the fourth liners.
Cizikas.
I was thinking more of Clutterbuck, but Cizikas is also a one to think about. Just
Clutterbuck should have been let go. That's what should happen there. Because you're going to have to – what are you going to give up for him? What are you going to get for him? A seventh?
Fucking future considerations? Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is this 1.575 by 2 year extension should not have happened with the Johnston extension happening.
Yeah, because you got four guys
to do the same shit on your. You got three guys who do the same shit. I'd say Cizikas is more skilled, but you got four guys who do the same shit down there, or three guys. Sorry, Martin, Clutterbuck, Johnston, and where are you going to put your rookies or your fast guys who other teams are putting on those lines? You know,
exactly.
look at Washington with Carl Hagelin playing on four, Connor Sheary filling in on four. I mean. There needs to be speed in that bottom lineup and physicality. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying get rid of all three. But
no, that's exactly what I'm saying. But you need to get rid of that, get some cap. You have Atu Rautti to play 3C and or play wing wherever he's needed.
I don't think Rotti's a center. I don't think he's ever been. Has he? I thought he was always a wing.
I thought you told me he was a center.
I didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you anything.
No.
No. Yeah, no, I
Okay.
didn't play anything.
Fuck. I can't even think
Oh,
for my fuck.
I got you. I got you, bro.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah,
I
let me
got you
hear it.
right
Let me
here.
hear it.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. And
He probably plays bowls.
then we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back. So, he plays center. He
Play
does.
center,
He
exactly.
plays center. He can also play wing, though. So, if you play center, you can play wing, typically, too. But in his case, he has played wing. So,
Yeah,
okay.
so he, in my opinion, you get rid of Pajot. You get rid of Pajot, you get rid of one of your fourth liners, and you get rid of Ryan Pulock. Look how much money you have. You spend on Barzal, keep him in on the island, and you address the scoring issue that you need. J or you took the pass on JT Miller at the draft, and hopefully you get him in free agency, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting next year for them with Lou in his final year of his contract and what that's going to look
Exactly.
like. So, all right. Well, we'll be back in probably a minute for us and probably 7 seconds for you guys. DB, make sure you get my invite. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
We're back. Talk about the New York Rangers. Just a little ways away from the Islanders in distance, but quite a ways away and where they sit right now. So, sorry to be, I thought that was pretty good, so I went with it.
I'm just not going to respond.
Yep, the Rangers re-signed. They had a busy, not really off-season, because again, this was a team that did a lot of this last summer, but they had a lot of guys who are entering new contracts. Mika Zibanejad is starting his $8.5 million per year contract that lasts for 8 seasons. Ryan Reeves is on a new contract, 1.75 for the year. Sammy Blais is on a 1 year deal now. Adam Fox, $9.5 million starting this year, 7 seasons total. Vitali Kramsov is back. And Kaapo Kakko, $2.1 million, 2 years. They also made some trades, or yeah, they made some trades. They traded away Alexander Georgiev, the backup goaltender, and Patrick Nemeth, along with a conditional third in 2024 and a 25 second. They acquired the 97th overall, the 161st overall, Ty Emberson from Arizona, and a 23 third round pick. They signed Vincent Trocheck, 6.25, 7 years. Louis Domingue, 775K, 2 years. Yaroslav Halak, 1.5 mil, 1 year. Ryan Carpenter, league minimum for a year. And CJ Smith, league minimum for a year for NHL guys or borderline NHL guys. They lost Kevin Rooney, Frank Vatrano, Greg McKegg, Justin Braun, Keith Kincaid, Ryan Strome, Andrew Kopp, Nick Merkley, Ty Ronning, and Anthony Greco in terms of guys who played in the NHL last season. They lost a lot. They lost a lot. I mean,
Yeah.
wow. But they've still got a lot of young guys in the team that are still developing and looking into more roles and who looked great in the playoffs. The young guys really stepped it up for them. So, speaking of young guys in New York, Nils Lundqvist, it sounds like he's not coming to training camp. So he said, trade me, I'm not coming. So we'll see. Over the next couple pods, we'll probably end up starting with mentioning a Nils Lundqvist trade. Is he going to be used as part of something bigger? Do they go with him and maybe Kaapo Kakko and start looking for a trade with Chicago for Patrick Kane? I don't know. I don't know what they do, but we'll see. As of right now, here's how it
Wow, that's a
sits.
crazy one to think about.
As of right now, here's how it sits. Panarin, Zibanejad, Lafreniere, Kreider, Trocheck, Kakko, Dryden Hunt, Filip Hedl, Sammy Blais. Sorry, Vitali Kravtsov, Filip Hedl, Sammy Blais. Julian Gauthier, Barclay Goodrow, Ryan Reeves, with Dryden Hunt and Ryan Carpenter as your extras. On defense, Ryan Lindgren, Adam Fox, K'Andre Miller, Jacob Trouba, their new captain, Libor Hajek, and Braden Schneider, and then with Nils Lundqvist currently as the extra, as it sits right now, but he wants top 4 minutes somewhere and to be a power play QB. So Igor Shesterkin, Yaroslav Halak in net. DB, what's your take?
I think Chessie's getting the Vezina this year, for
Okay,
sure.
another Vezina, back to back. Book it. DB, I like that one. I'm on board. I'm fully on board with that, 100%. I got Chris Kreider over 45 goals. Again.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't want to go over 50. I'm thinking like 46. I don't think he hits 50 again, but 45 is a hell of a lot of goals. So,
yep.
Who's your breakout?
I got a Filipino.
Ooh, I like that one. He would look really good in the playoffs. So I think he's going to have a real good year, and I think he's going to push to become a 2C. They got Trocheck, but Hedl's pushing. So mine is Alexis Lafreniere. Okay. I think this is a big year for him. I think he looked fantastic in the playoffs. He looked good in the regular season, but a first overall pick should not necessarily look good. They should look great, you know, but he's had a slow development. I'll blame COVID a little bit. He only been slow to get there, you know, to where he needs to be. So I think this year he's really going to take a step up, and I think we're going to see an increased amount of minutes, and I think we're going to see increased 5-on-5 and power play, which he struggled on, power play production as well. I think we're going to see a lot of good things from Lafreniere. And then possible rookies to make the team. You know, there's one kid who I think could really push at training camp. I think it's Brennan Othman. Call me stupid because he's still young, but pretty sure he can go back to juniors this year too. He's only 20. I think he recently turned 20, so I think he's still able to. Pretty sure. But, I mean, he's someone who can make the roster. I watched him at the World Junior Championships, and he looked incredible. He's a fucking nail gun. And he's got skill. So something to look at if they do make a move involving a couple prospects or roster players, depending on what route they decide to go.
Okay.
And Bobby Trevigno, the college free agent they signed, we'll see how that goes. But much different story. Anything you want to add before we get off?
You know, I don't want to talk about them.
All right, I got them first in the Metro. You got them first in the Metro. So expecting big things from them. And now they got a more competent backup, at least with their system. I don't think Georgiev and them – I mean, Georgiev played well last year, statistically speaking, from a wins perspective, record perspective. But you look at the numbers, and it wasn't necessarily anything good. Spectacular. No. So, I mean, Yaroslav Halak is a proven backup veteran who can, you know, play minutes and, you know, just be a guy in the locker room who can lead and a guy who can go out on the ice and play that, you know, however many games he's going to have to play behind Shesterkin, but it's not going to be that many, I don't think, unless something, you know, who knows. But the plan is not for it to be that many. On to Philly, the complete opposite of New York. Last in the Metro for both of us this season. They had some re-signings that go into effect this season. Joel Farabee is going to start making $5 million this year. He's got 6 years of that. Sean Couturier, 775 for 8 years. That's a nice contract, I will say. Defensively responsible forwards don't necessarily get paid as much as the guys who are going out there and lighting up the sheet. Tony D'Angelo, $5 million, 2 years. And, Owen Tippett, 1.5, 2 years. And then Zach McEwen signed a one-year deal. They traded the 101st overall pick, a 24 second-round pick, and a conditional 23 third for Tony D'Angelo and the 220th pick of the draft this past year. So they added D'Angelo on the blue line. They signed my guy, Nick DeLaurier, 4 years, 1.75 mil. They signed Justin Braun, 1.75 mil for 1 year. And then a couple depth signings in Louis Belpadillo, Adam Brooks, and Kevin Connaughton. They lost Oscar Lindblom via buyout, Martin Jones, Kirill Ustamenko, Troy Grosnick. Did they lose Troy? Yeah, no. I think Troy Grosnick is there. Pretty sure he signed there. Let me double check on this real quick. Just a brief second of interruption.
Yeah, just figure it the fuck out.
Yeah, figure it the fuck out. Figure it the fuck out, bud. Yeah, figure it out, bud. I'm DB. Figure it out. Yeah, I figured it out. He signed there. So Troy Grosnick signed with Philly. And yeah, it was it. It was basically it for who they lost. They drafted Cutter Gauthier at 5. The goal is to get him to become a center. He's played wing for most of his career in juniors and college and stuff. So starting in college this year, they want to put him on in the play in the middle. So Philly's lines right now, I mean, JVR, Sean Couturier, Cam Atkinson, Scott Laughton, Kevin Hayes, Travis Konecny, I guess Max Willman, Morgan Frost, Owen Tippett, Nick Delorier, Patrick Brown, Zach McEwen with Jackson Cates as an extra. Well, Joel Farabee is out with an injury. Bobby Brink is out with an injury. And then on defense, you got Ivan Provorov, Tony D, Travis Sanheim, Rasmus Ristolainen, Cam York, Justin Braun, and Nick Seeler. And then Ryan Ellis is out with an injury. And in net, you have Carter Hart and Felix Sandstrom. So, uncertainty in goal. Cam York's poised for a big year, and Travis Sanheim is going to – I think he's going to really blow people away, but I think this team is going to be in the bottom. It's a tire fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's your take on the Philadelphia Flyers, DB?
You need Tony DeAngelo to score 50 points again to keep your team relevant. It's as simple as that, and it makes it obvious that my player for the Philadelphia Flyers have – I wouldn't even say – yeah, breakout year in his case, because he will literally carry the Flyers organization on his back because he's a player's coach, I guess, or coach's player, because apparently John Tortorella loves Tony D'Angelo style.
Yeah, he's a John Tortorella player. That's what he's trying to say. I agree. I think he's going to have a real big year under – I think this team's going to look different under Tortorella. I think a guy like Joel Farabee may struggle. I think a guy like Kevin Hayes is going to benefit. Cam Atkinson, who had a good year last year, really good year last year to start, is going to benefit. My breakout candidate, though, Owen Tippett.
Okay.
I think we're going to see Owen Tippett. I'm not calling 50 points or 60 points. I'm just saying he's going to be moderately or considerably better than he has been in the past, and he's going to look like he belongs in that top nine. Maybe top six, but top nine for sure. Right now, my hot take, flaming hot take that could go poorly quick. Kevin Hayes, 50 point season. He's healthy as of right now.
Could go poorly quick.
He's healthy right now. He's coming off a horrible last calendar year. Awful. I feel awful for him and his family. And then, everything that happened with his, the passing of his brother Jimmy and then his injuries and barely played last year. I'm calling 50 points right now. Book it. But if he does that, then my Flyers eighth in the Metro. Yeah, I don't know. The Metro's fucking – the Flyers.
It's weird. It's just weird.
It's going to come down to injuries. Every single one of these teams – and, yeah, I get it. You could say that about the whole league. But a team like Carolina, they could have a couple of minor – like Svechnikov could go down with an injury. They'd be okay. Anderson could go down with an injury. Their top defenseman. Obviously not all at the same time, but – a team like New York, if Shesterkin gets hurt, it looks a lot different. If Panarin gets hurt, it's a lot different. If Fox gets hurt, it's a lot different. With Pittsburgh, it's the same. Just with a lot of this division.
Yeah, it's simple. It's just injuries. It's injuries. You got to keep and your team Philly, healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And if Philly stays healthy and other teams don't and they get back Ryan Ellis and Carter Hart plays well, they won't be eighth in the Metro. But
they definitely won't be making the playoffs.
No, I highly doubt that. I completely agree. But as it sits right now, they look like a team that look in my – in both.
They're in the dungeon.
They're in the dungeon.
Tank for Bedard.
Tank for Bedard, dude. Bedard would be a great center. It could be Farabee, Bedard, Atkinson. What a great top line. It still would be fucking bottom 10 lines in the NHL for top lines. It's fucking wild. Wild. Or maybe Couturier, Bedard, Konecny. Still. I don't know. I mean – do you want to – yeah, fuck. They're a team that's going to be looking at Connor Bedard. Them, Arizona, Chicago, Montreal. One in each division right there.
Montreal.
Oh. In the Atlantic? Oh, we'll talk about that next week. Fucking Arizona and Chicago are in the same division. So, I guess two in each conference. But, yeah. No, on to Pittsburgh. Possible rookies for Philly. Bobby Brink when he comes back from injury. Tyson Forster and Ronnie Attard. For the potential lineup. Pittsburgh.
I can't keep a fucking straight face, I guess.
I guess. Pittsburgh made a lot of moves this summer. They traded the rights to Liam Gorman, John Marino, Michael Matheson, and a 23 fourth round pick for the 167th overall pick, a 23 third, Ty Smith, Ryan Poehling, Jeff Petrie. They re-signed Brian Rust, 5.125, 6 years. Jeff Carter, 3.125, 2 years. They love the 0.125. Holy fuck. Ricard Raquel, 5 million, 6 years. Chris Letang, 6.1, 6 years. Malkin, 6.1, 4 years. Kasperi Kapanen, 3.2, 2 years. They signed Jan Ruda, 2.75 mil, 3 years. And I guess other NHL signing would be Josh Archibald, 900K, 1 year. And then Drake Caggiula, league minimum, 1 year. Their departures. They lost Casper Bjorkqvist, Juuso Riikola, Louis Domingue, and that was it for their NHL roster. So they didn't really address too many needs over the summer. They really, I mean, you could say they improved their defense. You could say they didn't, but I think they did. I think, and that's, you know, we'll get there in a minute. But here's their lineup as it sits right now, when everyone is healthy to start the season, assuming that that's the case to start the season. Guentzel, Crosby, Rust, Zucker, Malkin, Raquel, McGinn, Carter, Kapanen, O'Connor, Blueger, Heinen, with Archibald and Poehling as the extras, and Caggiula to start the year injured, it sounds like. Dumoulin and Letang is D-pairing one. Pettersson and Petrie is D-pairing two. Jan Ruda, Ty Smith, and then Mark Friedman and Chad Buridel as the extras. Tristan Jarry in net. Casey DeSmith is the backup DB. Let's hear about this Pens team. What do you got to say?
I honestly, my take is they're getting older. Will they keep up?
Yeah, that's a good one. And what do you think before I get into it?
I just honestly, I don't know. I don't know if they could keep up. Like Drake Caggiula is their extra forward. He has to come slot in if Evgeny Malkin gets hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Or Ryan Poehling, but yeah. Yeesh. Your point. And their prospects in the pipeline who are potential NHL borderline players right now are Sam Poulin, Philip Hollander, and P.O. Joseph. So it ain't like they got a, you know, it ain't like they got a stallion waiting in the fucking locker room. Or Myers, yep, to come in. So, I don't know. I mean, I completely agree. And your question is very valid. And if they stay healthy, then our prediction of fifth in the Metro maybe shifts. My prediction of fifth in the Metro.
I have them at five, too.
We both got them at five. So maybe that shifts if they stay healthy. Again, but as it sits right now, it's likely that Crosby and or, likely and, Malkin both missed some time. Letang, who knows how he looks this season. Jeff Petrie is my breakout candidate. But if he plays like he did last year in Montreal, we're in trouble. They're in trouble. I'm not a big Pittsburgh guy, but, you know. Jeff Petrie's my breakout candidate. I think he's going to have a real good year playing alongside some offensive talent. You got a breakout player?
I have Jake Guentzel. Just because I saw that TikTok. Remember that TikTok I sent you?
Breakout.
Really?
I'm fucking with you, dude. Let's hear.
I know, but remember that TikTok that I sent you and we
both TikTok? Oh, yeah.
The 50 goal Jake Guentzel. Goals.
Yeah,
no. So I was thinking, I'm like, he's like a 30 goal scorer.
50's pretty
He's like a 30 goal scorer, but, you know, if he comes and shows he could play his top line and stay healthy, he can. He probably could put 40 up, I think.
You calling it right now? You calling Guentzel 40? I'll let you
I don't,
call it.
I don't know if I'll call it, but I
call
think
it right
it's
now.
A
call it right now. We'll contradict each other here. Call it right now.
Okay, I call it right now then.
So Guentzel's got 40 goals in your mind, and Crosby has less than 60 points in mine. So we'll see. We'll see whose take is right.
Wow.
So I'm calling Crosby less than 60 points. I think he's going to have a slow year, and then I think he's going to turn around the year after, and you know, just kill it.
Go, yeah, come
but
back.
He had a good year last year in terms of points. I think it's a down year this year. I just do. I don't know why. I just have that gut feeling that Pittsburgh is going to struggle.
Then why did we put him at five?
Oh, I don't mean struggle horrendously, but I mean,
but that's what the thing about it. If Crosby struggles, you can't. I mean, you obviously can't scratch him, but then like. Look at his replacements.
Fucking Gino, dude. Crosby's probably going to get injured is what I'm kind of alluding to.
Okay, but then we just got to that point. Drake Caggiula, Ryan Poehling,
I know, but it's tough because look at what happened last year. This team was injured throughout most of the season. Crosby and Letang were out for, or Crosby and Malkin were out for a while. Jeff Carter was line one center, and they were still winning.
Yeah, but guess what? They might. They don't have Evan Rodriguez.
Oh, guess what? They don't have
back.
Evan Rodriguez. Yep, there you go. That's actually, I was just thinking that. So Evan Rodriguez is not officially a departure. That's why I didn't mention him there. He's currently a free agent. So I guess we can call him a departure. Likely he doesn't go back to Pittsburgh, but you never know right now. So we got one team left, unless there's something else you want to add about Pittsburgh.
I just think that maybe five was too high.
I don't know, because what happens if they stay healthy? Is five going to be too low?
So, dude, we're both saying that they aren't.
I know.
Like,
I know.
But I mean, realistically, you're right.
Five.
But
realistically, I
how
think five
how old
makes
is
sense.
How old is Crosby? 36, 35?
36, I think.
Yeah.
With the history of concussions, so.
And just injuries.
And injuries, but especially playing.
And then look at Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, but you're playing in a division that, you know, it's gotten a lot tougher over the last couple of
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. You
know, I don't know what it's going to look like with New York in that game from that series last year, but you're fucking with Revo and Goodrow at this point, you know, Barclay Goodrow. And then you're, and now in Columbus, you get Eric Gudbrandsen, you know? So talk about getting more.
Philly,
physical.
You have Delorier. Carolina.
Philly
have...
picked up Delorier. They brought back Zach MacEwen. Carolina, I don't really know who Carolina's big brawler is.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Martinook is a hitter, but Svechnikov hits. And
Washington,
then Washington, you get.
Washington's got Wilson.
My boy. You get my boy in Washington. We'll talk about that in a second here. My boy, Garnett Hathaway.
The Islanders. The Islander guys. The Islanders literally spend $10 million to fucking.
Yeah. And can they catch these guys?
Yeah.
If I'm Crosby, I ain't worried about those guys.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck?
Here we go. Washington Capitals. This is an interesting one to me. They made a trade over the summer. Made a couple trades. They traded away Vitek Vanacek, the 46th overall pick, and a 24 second-round pick. They acquired the 37th overall, which they took Ryan Chesley, the 70th overall, which they took Alexander Suzdalev, and then Connor Brown. So – then they re-signed. They had a couple re-signings. Nick Dowd, $1.3 million, 3 years. Marcus Johansson, $1.1 million, 1 year. And the rest were around league minimum. They signed goaltender Darcy Kemper, coming fresh off a Stanley Cup victory, $5.25 million, 5 years. Charlie Lindgren, $1.1 million, 3 years. And then a couple of depth signings in Eric Gustafson, Henrik Borgstrom, and Gabriel Carlson, and then Dylan Strome, $3.5 million, 1 year, is another solid signing. They lost Justin Schultz, Phoenix Copley, Ilya Samsonov, Michael Kempney, and Johan Larson in free agency. And as it sits right now, their lineup looks like this to start the year. And for possibly a decent portion of the year, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Brown, Strome, Mantha, Brown and Strome were two out of the three Erie Otters on Connor they were on that Connor McDavid line. So the third was Connor McDavid. But in juniors, they tore it up. Brown, McDavid, Strome. So this year it's Brown, Strome, Mantha in Washington on line two. Sheary, Eller, Johansson on three. McMichael, Dowd, Hathaway on four. Borgstrom and Leeson as the extras. Nick Backstrom, Tom Wilson, Carl Hagelin start the season injured. Possibly, likely right now, Nick Backstrom does not play this season due to a hip surgery or back surgery. One of the two. DB, it was hip surgery, correct? I'm pretty sure it was hip replacement.
It's
it was
hip
replacement.
Yeah.
So as of right now, it looks like he's not going to play this season. Possibly might not play again. We'll see. It's a tough decision. It's a horrible decision to have to make.
That is a very horrible decision. I think they're a seventh place team at best, and the only bright spot that they might have, honestly, this year, besides, you know,
you
just
finish the
playing
defense,
it.
Though.
I don't give a fuck about the defense. Fuck
Michael
the defense.
Farabee, John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, Nick Jensen, Eric Gustafson, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Gabriel Carlson, in net, Darcy Kemper, and Charlie Lindgren. Go.
Seventh place team.
Fourth in the Metro for me.
You're Wow, that was your fucking team, and you laughed.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my fucking God.
What? You
They
heard
don't
that?
have a competent team. They just don't have a competent team.
Who's your breakout player?
Strome.
Strome, baby. It's going to be a hell of a year for him alongside Brown and Mazda to start, and then alongside Brown and likely
I
Wilson.
just said Dylan Strome fits in well, question mark is my take. Literally.
My hot take, you're going to hate this one.
This is what you're gonna fight. Yeah, this is
This
what,
is why I
yeah.
think they're going to be fourth in the Metro. Alexander Ovechkin, 50 goals.
No, I'm not pissed about it, but is that gonna still win them hockey games? He could just score. Think about it. If he has 50 goals, yeah, he has one goal a night, but they don't got goaltending to, stop just
Darcy
one goal a night.
Kemper, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, he doesn't play every game, dude. Charlie
Charlie
Lindgren?
Lindgren's gonna be an interesting one. I'm interested to see how he's looked great in
Yeah.
his small showcases in the NHL, but yeah, I'm interested to see. I don't know. I think they could be fourth. I mean, Nick Backstrom's a huge blow. I don't know how long Wilson's out, but I mean, the lineup—it's not horrendous. I don't think Oshie's gonna be on
They're
line one for
old.
long, though. I think it's gonna be Mantha on line one as that right wing.
But look at that
Or
top six.
Wilson
That's
when
the
Wilson's
that's
back,
old as
obviously.
dirt. That top six is old as dirt.
Who's old as dirt in that top six beside Ovi and Oshie?
That's two or six players. Manta's not old, but he's
Mantha ain't it. I
older.
don't think Mantha's even at 30 yet.
No, but I'm not saying he's old, but he's older. Like it's not like a, it's not someone young. He's not someone like I don't think flashy.
No, but I do like the possibility that they have Bogdan Trinayev and Henrik Lapierre in their lineup this season. That would be nice. Lapierre would be huge. What are the odds that we maybe see Ivan Merezhchenko at the end of the season, maybe?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just the Russian
Do
recruiting is going to
you
be big. You do
see
it.
him?
You see
Is he
him.
healthy
I
enough
think.
to come back? Is the whole Russia thing is he gonna be able to come over? How's that look? I'm interested.
Is he a CSK guy? Does he play in CSK?
I don't know, dude.
I think that's the only issue right now is guys getting like. In the KHL, they're getting traded to CSK, so they get in trouble with government, so they can't leave for North America. So I think any Russian that's in the KHL that's not on CSK can come over. It's
Yeah,
not
I think
as
so too.
hard.
So, that's that. That's the division.
Yeah.
That is the
I'm
division.
tired as fuck.
I know, that was a lot.
It doesn't feel like we did it for long, though.
It doesn't. I thought it would be much longer. I really thought it'd be two pods. I mean, we crammed that into one. We did pretty good.
Yeah.
That was good. I like that. All right. Well, next week. Next Wednesday, the 8th of September. Sorry, that's a lie. The 7th
Yeah,
of
at the end of
September,
September.
next Wednesday, we will discuss the Atlantic Division. And boy, is that going to be a good one.
Yeah,
A
no,
lot
it's gonna be
tighter.
very
Lot tighter
exciting.
than the Metro. A lot tighter than the
I
Metro.
agree. I agree.
A couple teams at the very top again. But it's tighter in the middle, and it's wow. It's how the Metro was a couple years ago. The Metro, I think we're going to see a lot more parity in the league this year, a lot less of a points disparity, but it's going to come down to injuries, So crazy, crazy, awesome times coming up. The season about a month away, a little over a month, under a month until preseason, pretty sure. Training camp starts this month.
Yeah.
So, DB and I will be at the Coyotes training camp, seeing what's going on.
Oh, for sure, for sure. We'll definitely try to see what we can get going.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, episode 14. There it is.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Metro covered. Atlantic up next, and then Central, and then Pacific. So, I guess. I'll mention him now, but there were a couple trades this past week. Adin Hill was traded from San Jose to Vegas. addresses the goaltending situation a little bit. And Dmitry Kulikov was traded from Minnesota to Anaheim for future considerations. So clear some cap in Minnesota for really, I mean, who knows what. I think they just want to have money coming into the deadline. So we'll talk now after this, but we'll talk to you guys next Wednesday. So
see ya.
Thank you. See ya.